basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 24. I was thinking Matthew 24 and 25, but a little ambitious. And let's pray with, again, your brother Andrew cards there. And so just praying for the names that are on there. Pray that you get this and you be adding names to it. I got 3 to my 6 already this year. Wanted to come to the Lord, but he didn't last long, so I'm still praying him back in. But Lord Jesus, we just give you these names that, God, that we are praying for, that they come to know you as Savior Lord, or if they're orphaned and they need a church, that God, they would come and get plugged in here and discipled. And so we just give that to you, Lord. We just praise you. We thank you, God, that we would also leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you put order in for a shirt, the new the sinners, the shirts are here. And then also, if you got Jesus, we still have more of those shirts up here. And then turn with me your Bibles here to Matthew chapter 24. If you've been doing your homework, as I assigned last week, Matthew 24 also coincides with Luke chapter 21. And then also you want to throw Revelation chapter 6 in there as well. So over this week and next week, you just be reading through those 3 chapters. You're going to see a lot of correlation here. But in Matthew chapter 24, remember the Gospel of Matthew is written to who? To the Jewish people, written by a Jew. And that's why Matthew doesn't explain a whole lot of things. The Gospel of Luke does. You know, that was a traveler. That was Luke the physician, we believe that. And he explains certain cultural things and geography and stuff. But Matthew is a Jew writing to Jews, and he speaks in a very Jewish way. And this chapter, if you understand that. So listen, you can talk to me after service, whatever you want. But the church is not Israel. All right. Some of you are going to Israel with us on this tour. And one thing you're going to figure out is Israel is real. I mean, it's there. It really is, all right? And I'll take you to that church, or Pastor Seth will take you to that church and inside the old city of Jerusalem, there right by the Jaffa Gate, and they believe that they're the true Israel in Israel. Of course, they're over 100 and some years old, and they believe that they're spiritual Israel. And so therefore, you'll think, if you believe that you are, again, replacement theology, in other words, that you're replacing, and some would say, look, here's chapter 24. Well, that's the church. Well, if you look that, as we go through chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 6, if you think that the church is Israel, then you think you're going through the tribulation. I don't know what your evangelism is like. Hey, get saved and then get beat up. I don't know if anyone here getting engaged, someone comes to you and says, hey, I'd like us to be married, but first I'm gonna beat you to a pulp. And then we're going to go and have a wedding there. Is that the proposal? No, that's not really good there. And so, again, the Gospel of Matthew written to Jews, to the Jewish people. Now, we all get from it. It applies to us as well. But let's look specifically at chapter 24. And I are getting better at English, but I'm going to show you some grammar and try to not emphasize the wrong syllable when I get to this. I love your laugh, man. So chapter 24, and as Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, see, not all these things. Verily I say to you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Well, that happens 38 years later. And when we go to Israel, we'll show you the various stones that are still there that was pushed down by the Romans in 70 AD. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? In Luke chapter 21, Jesus is teaching on the temple grounds every day. Some of the things that are said here, the two differences are, we're going to see the beginning of sorrows is going to correlate here in Matthew 24 and in Luke chapter 21. We're going to see some cataclysmic effects after the tribulation period, which we'll see that in Matthew 24. And if you read along, Luke 21 and again, Revelation 6, you want to read through that as well this week. And so here he says, here's, he sat upon the Mount of Olives. So even after what he was sharing and what he was sharing, teaching on the Temple Mount, now he goes to the Mount of Olives. So again, there's not a contradiction that's happening between the Gospel of Matthew 24 and Luke 21. He said these things and he goes into further detail and explains these things to him. But there's one verse I want to show you in Luke 21 that kind of ties all this together. So as they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Three things. They're asking three things. Who's the Gospel of Matthew written to? To the Jews. And by a Jewish perspective and Jewish person, to the Jews. And so I'm going to tell you here that he's talking about the Jewish people. Because God, as we've gone through the Gospel of Matthew, and Matthew throws a lot of prophecy, a lot of scripture, a lot of verses there throughout the Old Testament about the fulfillment that's happened here. God has made physical land contracts, covenant, and with the people. And you say, well, why do some people think that the church is Israel? Because some really super smart, wily coyote super geniuses, all right? And he never beats the Roadrunner, does he? All right, so they got, my understanding of how I get it is they got tired of trying to defend God. If you're taking notes, you never have to defend God. He says what he means and he means what he says. But you see, up until May 14th, 1948, Israel did not exist again as a nation. And up until May 14th, no nation that was ever dispersed has ever come back together as a nation. And not only that, the closest ancient civilization that kind of kept their identity for maybe 300 years before they were fully assimilated was the ancient Chaldeans. But Israel kept their national identity, kept their language, kept their Judaism. And so let me ask them, have you ever met a Lithuanian Gergesite? You might have met some Philistines, called some people that. You ever met an Argentinian Philistine? You ever met a Gergesite, Philistine, upside, out of sight, uptight, outright? Any of the ites at all? No, but you know there's Lithuanian Jews. Hey, when I started touring in Israel back in 1997, Israel at that time was comprised of people from 97 different countries. Today, right now, Israel has a population of people from 124 countries. It's why they have the best spy service, the Mossad, ever. And the reason being is because they don't have to teach anything culturally to the people who come from these other countries. Well, let me see you hold up the number three with your fingers. Germans do it like this. That's how most spies were captured during World War II, is because they would make that sign. Germans count with their thumb. They count that as a dish. How do you eat your cake? How do you eat a piece of pie? Think about how we Americans, we turn it to the side and eat in the middle. How do most Americans, besides Minnesotans, eat? Knife in one hand, fork in the other. All right, that's how we in Minnesota, but majority of people cut with their knife, set the knife down, move over to their dominant hand. That's how people were caught. The spies are caught. They culturally cannot break some of those things. So you take people from 124 countries, all they got to do is teach them a little spy camera stuff, a little bit of this, a little radio of that. They're already ingrained in the culture. They're already ingrained in the culture. And so here, the nation of Israel exists since May 14th. If you make it to Jeopardy and that's the daily double, you bet it all. Because you know that answer, right? And so here, He's talking to Jews here. And so God reports. And so what happens is people get tired of defending God because they say, well, there is no temple. There is no Israel. They call it Palestine. They call it this. They call it that. But you see, I read some really old dead dudes who were ridiculed and mocked and said, well, Israel doesn't exist. How can you say this? And they're trying to say, well, then maybe Israel is the church. Maybe the church is Israel. And they misquote Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, and they misunderstand that. And so here, he goes to the real Mount of Olives, and they ask him three questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? Well, he was already in the temple teaching these things. We see that in the last chapter. Tell us when these things shall be. Two, and what shall be the sign of your coming? And three, the end of the world. Again, coincides with Luke 21. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes and diverse places. Now, there's been, say, diverse places, places that you normally don't hear of earthquakes happening. And so all these are the beginning of sorrows. That correlates with Luke chapter 21 as well. And then they'll deliver you up and up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Listen, if you speak three languages, what are you called? Trilingual, right? If you speak two languages, you're considered a what? If you speak one language, what are you called? An American. And so they're going to be hated by all the nations. America's not hated by all the nations. Can you just think of one group of people that's pretty much hated by the entire world? They're in the news every day. Tiny little itty-bitty country. We see that as Israel. So then shall they deliver you up and be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And they shall mainly be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because of iniquity, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's almost like giving up. You don't want to give up. I'm not leaving St. Paul. I'm not leaving the state of Minnesota. I'm going to give it up. I know. Do I really think that anyone, if I look at the political, does anyone really here have a vote of confidence that anyone's actually going to be prosecuted and all the stuff they're finding out in this last administration? Do you really think anyone's going to go to jail? Do you think anyone's really going to be prosecuted? Do you really think anything's going to happen with the Epstein files? My hope's not in that. Oh, I can root and cheer and stuff like that. You know, I used to be a Vikings fan, but you know they're never going to win, right? They get your hopes up. You think it's going to happen. It was 98. It looked close. You know, it looked close. Randy Cunningham and Randy Moss and, you know, Cunningham. It looked like it was going to happen. And Garriers and hit that wide right field goal with 27 seconds. I'm not over it, but because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Hey, don't give up, Christian. All right? And that's what Jesus is telling these Jewish peoples here. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end. And then, look, you want to underline, and then. That's a word that's going to be, you need to learn your grammar. Then. It means then. There's a switch that's going to happen. These things need to happen. And then the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. If you're taking notes, this is Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. Now, the abomination of desolations happened in 164 BC with Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a ruler who came and slaughtered a pig on the holiest of holies there in the temple. So this thing about the abomination of desolation, that happened. That's what started the whole Maccabean revolt. That's what got them all upset. So he's referring to something that happened. But now he's talking about in the future. Then these things didn't happen. then the abomination of desolation. But you see, this is what the Bible says, and this is what Jesus says. See, I got a red letter edition, so I know it's the words of Jesus, right? And so here, that's what he says. Well, what about those Christians? See, about 250 years ago, the second coming of Christ, the millennial, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church was never even questioned. You'll hear things like a guy by the name of Darby and another guy by the name of Brown, and this is the whole thing. They came up with this whole thing about the rapture of the church and premillennialism and pre-tribulation rapture of the church and all stuff. No, no. You guys understand. You got to go and read everything. It was never questioned until, again, this thing called higher criticism got into the church. In other words, higher criticism is by the critics, and started out in Germany. And they began to dispute about which was the authoritative word of God and which what man put in. And it's interesting when you read the various commentaries on this, one guy, one philosopher, one scholar would say, well, I think this is the actual authoritative word of God, but I don't think this is. But another guy says, well, what you think isn't the authoritative word of God, I think it is. But what you think is not, well, I think that back and forth. Making man the authority of God's word and man determining it. How about, now listen, this is why for me, I think it's easier today to believe God's word and to be a Christian than any other time pre-1948, May 14th, 1948. Because the biggest miracle on the face of this earth is the reestablishing of the nation of Israel, just as Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and all the ites said that it was going to happen. And just as Jesus said it was going to happen. So this abomination of desolation, he says, hey, he wants us to understand. Then, verse 16, then. So this has to happen. You guys catch the flow here? This has to happen first. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains. Why not St. Paul? Why not Minneapolis? Why not Minnesota? Little pop quiz. Is Jesus Christ God? It's God on earth. Does he know everything? Well, then why is he just singling out Judea? Why didn't he say the rest of the world? Context. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Jewish people. I'll give you further evidence of this as well. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, and neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. Pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Does it really matter to us as goyim? Goish, does it really matter about the Sabbath? It might be, I mean, we're renting the Seventh-day Adventist church, so I'm grateful they choose Saturdays because we get this building on Sundays. But the Sabbath day doesn't really matter. I mean, Paul even talks about this. He says one day is the same as everybody else. Another day is holier. If you're given and you think that the Sabbath day is supposed to be, Saturday, others, my friends, my Jewish friends, it's Friday, starts on Friday, it's sundown Friday, which starts the next day, and all these things. But this is dealing with the Jewish people, that it might not be on the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. It's quoting Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 there. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Who's the elect? He's talking about the Jewish people here. They were supposed to be the elect of God, and God was to be their God, their Father. God, and the whole world was supposed to see how the family of God worked with God leading them, and they would say, hey, we all want to be a part of that. We want to be Jews. And again, there was no Jews until he took that sun-worshiping heathen pagan Abram and made him Abraham and his wife Sarai to Sarah, and then made the Jewish race of people through the seed, not seeds, but through Isaac. And again, we're going through Genesis on Thursday nights here. But again, for that sake, he's talking about it specifically. Listen, the 70th week of Daniel, we kind of say the whole seven-year period is a tribulation period, but it is the tribulation period. But the first 3.5, you're going to see in Revelation chapter 6, and as we go through the rest of the book of Revelation, which we just finished up a few months ago. You're going to see that it really the first 3.5 is relatively peaceful, and it's the last is the greatest part. But the whole purpose of that 70th week, that last week of the 70 weeks of Daniel, that the prophecy is, that we're in a great parenthesis right now. It tells us there in Daniel at the 69th week, the Messiah will come and will be cut off outside the city. When you go with us to Israel, we actually go outside the Damascus Gate and you go out to Mount Moriah, right? That whole Mount Moriah region where the Temple Mount is, but it still continues up to the highest point there. If you are 1 foot, okay, anyone have brothers and sisters? You understand, right? Remember this one? I'm not touching. Remember? I'm not touching, right? I'm not touching. If you are 1 foot outside the official city of Jerusalem, you are outside of Jerusalem. Now, the old city, when we go there. But he was crucified on Mount Moriah, just as the 2,000 years before Isaac was offered up by his father Abraham on that same mountain region there, Mount Moriah. And so here, we see here that the Messiah is cut off. And the prophecy in Daniel is that when Messiah is cut off, and we've already seen that prophecy as of the last couple of weeks, that he says when the decree is given to rebuild Jerusalem, It'll be 460 years until Messiah comes. Now, if you do the math, Sir Robert Anderson did, that came to 173,880 days. And if his math is correct, because that's the 360-day-a-year calendar, the Jewish calendar, then that turns out to be April 6, 32 A.D. Josephus talks about it, Jewish historian. Tacitus writes about it. There's plenty of secular history that relates to Jesus being a real figure who was put to death. So it's not just our Bible here, but all I need is the Bible. But there's plenty of secular. It's one of the most well-attested to facts of ancient history. And so here he says, then. He says, then let them which be in Judea flee in the mountains. The prayer doesn't happen in the Sabbath. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except for those days be cut shortened. There should be no flesh be saved for the elect's sake, for those days shall be shortened. People say, well, why don't you believe that the rapture of the church happens in the middle of the tribulation period? Because it's a surprise. We're not supposed to know when it happens. We're to be ready. If you look at the 7-year tribulation period and you look at it, in the middle of it is 1,260 days. And in the middle of it, they say, just hold on for 1,260 more days, and then the Son of Man will come and return. I mean, that's pretty specific. There's no shock and surprise when it comes to that. Because this church, we partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll participate in the feast in the kingdom when the rest of Israel and the plan of God, that when the Messiah was cut off after the 69th week, there's still a 70th week. And that's all the book of Daniel is talking about, that last week. It's known as the time of Jacob's trouble. And it gives great extensive detail with that. And that's what Jesus is explaining here and in Luke 21. And so he says here, for many shall say to you, lo, here is the Christ, or there, believe it not. Verse 23, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 13, it was already set up about what needs to be and how you identify who a prophet is. They have to have 100% accuracy. You ever go to these prophecy websites and stuff, and they claim some 70 to 80% accuracy? No, Deuteronomy 13. Says, if you want that. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he is in the desert, and go forth not, behold him. He is in the secret chamber, believe it not. It's interesting that Jehovah's Witnesses claim that Jesus came at lightning out in the desert, and he's in a secret chamber there in Brooklyn at the Watchtower Society. That's called a hostage. All right? If you're really awake, make no mistake, Jesus is Jehovah to me. So listen, it's interesting that they say these very words. Verse 27, for as lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever so the carcass is, there will be eagles will be gathered together. I absolutely do not know what that means. I think it is alluding to somehow to Jesus Christ, because everything, I know the answer is Jesus. Hey, but I've read a lot of commentaries that if you got a theory on this, you guys have, I'm open to it. All right? It might be just as simple as there's going to be carcasses and the eagle's going to be there. It tells us here, verse 29, and immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now that's Revelation 6, by the way. But Revelation 6 is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 13, Joel chapter 2. They didn't have the book of Revelation when Matthew was writing the Gospel of Matthew. So what's he interpreting? I think the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. And there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's Daniel chapter 7. Reading some old dead dudes from a couple hundred years ago, reading some of the commentaries. And again, even those who were kind of wavering their faith about the rapture of the church, people say, they point to this, well, how's the whole world going to see this? How's the whole world going to see this at this time and stuff like that? And I read some of the commentaries and said, well, then God is probably going to supernaturally put a vision and everyone's going to see this at the one time. But we know it'll be CNN, right? Because we live in this day and age, right? We know when we go to the Temple Mount Faithful Institute and they're showing us, and they're very passionate about the rebuilding of the temple and stuff. And they, well, in fact, they got tired of me and others asking this question. Now it's all AI and automated, and it's they have recordings and stuff instead of a guide going through there, because they got tired of the question. It says, well, where's the hookup for CNN so the whole world can see the Antichrist and the abomination of desolations? They would get annoyed when I would say that. And so some would say, well, then, just as others would say, well, you know, the church must be Israel. And that must be what's being said here, because, you know, Israel doesn't exist. Now others are saying, well, maybe he's going to. But do you see why it's easier today for us to believe how the whole world at one time, through technology, what we can see, what we can do? I mean, more so now than ever before. Oh, man. Again, as I was sharing with somebody last week, one of the greatest reasons why, I believe the Bible, but one of the greatest reasons I love being alive in this day and age and being in St. Paul and living here is because of indoor plumbing. I love it. And he shall send his angels with a great cloud, with a great sound of a trumpet. No, it's not Trump. The trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. This is not the rapture, folks. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, Jesus cursed the fig tree. I didn't want to jump ahead, but the fig tree is symbolically, typically in the Old Testament, referred to as the nation of Israel. Not always. But he's saying, when you're seeing these things happen, so if I take that typology that's in the Old Testament, and I apply it here, again, another further evidence he's talking about Israel. They don't have to explain it to the Jews. They understand it. And it isn't just some Christian evangelical Bible scholar saying the fig tree is that's in Jewish writing. That's even the prophets, that's even Isaiah saying the fig tree is Israel. So if I apply that here, so likewise, when you see all these things happening to Israel, well, up until May 14th, bet it all on Daily Double, folks. Well, where is it? Where is Israel? Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Which generation? Who he's talking to right now? No, remember then. Remember then. Remember then. If you don't, you remember then. You remember it now. A lot of things need to happen. And the generation that sees these things happening, that's why we've hidden Bibles when we've gone to Petra, wrapped them in cellophane and sealed them, and we've had them in all types of caves. That's why I get Bibles printed in Jerusalem, because my Jewish friends, they want to see where the Bible was printed. I hand them a Tanakh, and it has Old and New Testament in it. And I see that it's printed in Jerusalem, so they're more readily able to accept it. And I highlight passages, and I say, hey, if you're the generations that's seen these things, I want to tell you what's going to be happening next. And unlike me, we've been raptured out. You just need to hang on for 1,260 days. Because that's going to come to the end. And you know what? I'm not into luck, but good luck. I mean, I hope you can do it, man. Hope you know. Did you ever think, when you read through the book of Revelation, this is why, to me, this is the greatest generation to be alive. Because to see in Bible prophecy, I'm excited. I'm okay with the rapture. I want out of here. No problem. But how would the whole world, because just think about what people would say there. Up until a few years ago, people were speculative. How will people take the mark of the beast? How will they do? How would the whole world and everybody take a mark either on the forehead or the right hand? How would they do it? Oh, did something happen a few years ago? And people were, you couldn't buy or sell or trade. I don't think if you got the vax, the Fauci, whatever, you got the jab, that's the mark of the beast. But look at all the conditionings going on. Now, understand this about the mark of the beast that we see in the book of Revelation. You have to worship the Antichrist. Do we see people worshiping? Yeah, I see there's people really. I mean, I'm okay with this president because we're going to be prosperous and other things, but I'm not worshiping him. Okay? But man, there's some people worshiping, right? They're like, there's Trump this, Trump that, Trump that. I'm like, oh, okay. He's still brought in the vaccine and he. And he still did the Abraham Accords with his son-in-law, which ushers in the Antichrist if you read the whole thing with the Abraham Accords. That's why I told you when he signed on to the Abraham Accords during his first administration, he said he won't be reelected. Period. You can't divide up Israel. And I'm just taking God's word from all that. It's why when I was in the Marine Corps, I didn't want to go to Russia. And I want my friends to go to Russia or actually go to Afghanistan. Because the Bible tells us, until God opens the door, no one's crossing those mountains. Russians found out. Americans, we unfortunately found out as well. Stay out of there. It wasn't that I was against the troops and all those things. The Bible just tells us it's not going to happen until God releases it. And if you think about Afghanistan, it should have been easily overrun by any army. Stop Napoleon. Stop Alexander the Great. Stop the Russians. Stopped us and stopped everybody here until God, as the prophecy tells us. And so here, he tells us here that he says, likewise, you when you shall see these things, then when you see these things, verily I say to you, this generation, what generation? Now keep your fingers here and go with me to Luke. Take your handy dandy Bible tab there and go to Luke 21. And in Luke 21, a lot of this correlates. Look at verse 12. But before, and here's the difference in Luke 21. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before the kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Verse 14, settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate, not to do this before what you shall answer. Hey, I got a text from Wes Bentley. I can't read the newsletter to you, but I would encourage you to go to frmusa.org. And what he writes there is urgent what's happening in Syria. He's trying to, again, far-reaching ministries trying to rescue. They've already rescued 2,600 people out of Afghanistan when that horrible pullout happened. They still have a bunch of names left there. So Wes says, I can't wait for the newsletter to come out. It's already online before you get the actual hard paper copy like I do. I can't read it to you. It's too graphic. But he writes in there and says, it's very graphic what's happening in Syria right now and the cleansing that's going on. Muslims, that death cult of Islam, killing people. And they're going after, obviously, the Christians, but the Druze population. There's about 700,000 people that they are murdering. They're throwing off of buildings and they're practicing shooting them as they're falling to the ground. They're slaughtering whole families, the Druze population. They're neither Muslim, they're neither Christian, but they have their own hybrid of that. And because Druze are favorable towards Israel and the United States, they're killing them. by the tens of thousands. That's what's happening in Syria. Say all that you want about Assad, the dictator who was last there, who killed and gassed his own people. But there was religious freedom and people had freedom in that country at that time under that dictator. Now it's the vacuum that's happened and the hole that's opened up. So Wes writes in there, and they've got video, folks, and it's horrible. And Wes is an old Marine like me. And he says, I've seen a lot of evil. This is the most demonic I've ever seen. It's the most evil that I've ever seen. So we're trying to rescue people. I text him a verse a couple of weeks ago, Proverbs 24, 12, 10 through 12, about rescuing those who go to the slaughter. And he's using it here as well. But I would encourage you to go and read that update. But he puts on there, it's graphic. So if you watch it, don't call an email back to far-reaching ministries and complaining. The warning is ahead, and it is it's just horrendous what they're doing to little girls and whole families and stuff. You see, that is not the tribulation. Go ahead, Caleb, and take that off. So you can go there, FRMUSA.org. I get daily updates, or I get updates from Wes. He's in Africa right now, but with far-reaching ministries. And if you can help and you want to throw your support, could you do something? If you see the able-bodied people who are conning you for money on the off-ramps and you feel led together, just come here or give it to far-reaching ministries and let them do something with it, all right? Because that's the other thing here in America. I've traveled to many other countries. It's only America that people stand here with signs on the off-ramps and they're running a con. So if you feel led and you feel like compassion and I want to do that, there's people who are being murdered and they're trying to rescue as many as they can out of Syria. And that's costly. But an able-bodied citizen, they can go to work. And they're most likely already getting our tax dollars anyways. And so here he says here in verse 12, but before all these things, go with me back to Matthew 24. So what's happening right now in Syria, it's not the tribulation. It's horrendous. But it's not the great tribulation, what God's trying to do there. And so here, but these things are going to happen here. So that's the difference that you're going to see in Luke 21. And he tells us here over and over again. He says here, verily I tell you here, verse 34, verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. We're seeing things. Now listen, I don't know when the rapture is going to happen, but it's got to be close because all the prophecies lining up to the return of Jesus Christ, Israel's a nation again. They've already got all the stones quarried for the Temple Mount to rebuild the temple. And they don't even consider about the court of the Gentiles. They just want the holy and the holiest of holies. It's all quarried. It's been sitting there. Almost got to see it back in 2003. And so got to see it. They're all quarried. They're ready to go. They have all the instruments. In 97, they had maybe 10% of the sacrificial instruments already recreated for doing sacrifices again and starting them up. They're 100% complete now. And so they're ready. In fact, they're teaching sacrifice because the ancient Samaritans who are there in Samaria there are still sacrificing on Mount Gerizim. And they're teaching in the Hebrew University. And they believe through the DNA, the Cohen family name, as the true Levitical priesthood. So people with the Cohen name are studying, and there's already a priesthood. 12 years ago, the ruling council called the Sanhedrin that was disbanded around 70 AD, about 75 AD, there in Galilee, or the Tiberias, has reconvened. They have a ruling council of 70, the Sanhedrin again, and they're making all these decisions and they're doing these things. They want the temple to be rebuilt. They're on the Temple Mount area. And so here, this generation, so I think there's a generation, I think I have friends who are going to see these things happen. And I give them the Bible here. I love my one friend that I've given the Bible. He says, your Bible has extra books. I said, no. You know how like you get like a textbook and it has all the answers in the back so you can check all the questions? He goes, yeah, that's all the New Testament is. It has all the answers. He still carries that around. He tells people, I have all the answers. He's not saved. Man, I hope he gets saved because he could stand before the throne of God and I'll be there at his judgment because there'll be one final judgment. And I'll say, dude, you had all the answers. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, the Word of God is the inspired, it is the authoritative, it is the God-breathed Word of God. It has all the answers for life and godliness. You and I have all the answers, folks. We really do. For he tells us here, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of the day and the hour, no man know, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all the way, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Folks, understand this, that rain didn't even exist. And he says, hey, it's going to rain. It's going to rain from the heavens above. Up until the flood of Noah, there was no such thing as rain. The ground was watered with a mist from a dew from the ground, and it was tropical. And there was as we know now, there was a canopy of vapor of water. And we know, it says, the wells from beneath. We know that there's aquifers. We know that there's water underneath. And the waters drop below. And we have woolly mammoths that were instantaneously frozen that are up there in Alaska and the Yukon with tropical vegetation undigested in their tummies, letting us know that it was all tropical at one time. And so here, so he says it's going to rain. What's it? What do you mean it's going to, what's rain? I don't understand the words that you're using. Just as in the days of Noah, just as my friend, I gave him an Old and New Testament. He has all the answers if he'll read it. For as in the days of Noah, the flood came, and they're eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's not the rapture of the church. It tells us to be ready. There shall be two in the field. So verse 40 on, this isn't the rapture of the church. Read Revelation 6. Read Luke chapter 21. Read what happens during that completion of that 70th week. We're in a great parenthesis right now. All right, this last 7-year period will be fulfilled. And Daniel outlines exactly what's going to happen. Then two shall be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find doing so. Verily I say to you that he shall make him ruler over all the goods. You have to read what's going to happen during that millennial kingdom. Then, after all these things, then after the great tribulation, then we're going to see that kingdom of God, where you and I, as 1 Peter tells us, we come and reign as kings and priests there in that millennial kingdom, that little 1,000-year reign. Why? Because up until Matthew chapter 12, the kingdom of God could have been established on earth, but they rejected Jesus and said, your miracles are that of the devil, the Beelzebub. And then he goes, into the house divided can't stand. How could that be? And so the kingdom of God being established on earth, they had the first right of refusal. They rejected him. But his kingdom, as Psalm 2 says, will be established on earth and it'll only be 1,000 years. Question is, you read ahead, what if you make it through the tribulation? What if you make it through the tribulation, but you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior Lord? I find that very hard. Can you get in to the millennial kingdom? You might want to read chapter 26 of the Gospel of Matthew. Read chapter 25 and chapter 1. So I'll just put that out there for homework for you. Could you make it into the kingdom if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, your Lord? Because during that millennial kingdom, there's going to be kids who are going to be born, and they're not going to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, your Lord. And they're going to try to fight the battle of Armageddon. It's really not a battle. They show up to fight, but God says, no. All right, so there's not this. But even there are some angels that will still leave their heavenly abode and still try to fight. And so here, I ask you, just put it out there. If you make it all the way through, and you're just that stubborn of a person, you refuse the mark. I don't know how you could eat or drink or live or whatever, but could you make it into that millennial kingdom? Read chapter 26. I've got some theories here for you. Verily I say to you that he shall make him ruler over his goods. But if he that is evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him in his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, as anyone says, well, I don't want to go to church full of a bunch of hypocrites. I said, you know what? You're actually going to spend all eternity with people that you hate. Who's that? Hypocrites. And I would say, well, I don't want to go to church. I'm not going to church. It's full of hypocrites. And then just tell them, well, you know what? We have room for one more. Just, you're welcome. We're not looking for perfection. We're just looking for forgiveness here. And that, again, so again, not growing weary and doing good. Knowing all these things that you and I have the answer, and knowing that we can take, well, I'm 44 years of being a Christian. I used to say you could take a newspaper in one hand and your Bible in the other, and you can see prophecy. Now I can say just take your tablet or iPad, split the screens, and one side is the electronic news and the other side is your electronic Bible, and you can do it. A friend of mine pastors a church in Phoenix, Calvary Chapel, and he has a website called In the Days. And all he does is just take headlines and matches it up with prophecy of what's happening here. And just, amazing what's happening here. Did somebody in the EU say, we're just going to mess with those fanatical Christians, and we're going to make a European coin, the Euro dollar, and on one side, we're going to put a woman riding a 10-headed beast with horns on it. That's really going to mess with those fanatics. Either way, it exists. And they've got a statue outside The Hague. They're in the Netherlands there, I think it's the Netherlands or Belgium, wherever it is in the EU. They got it right out there. They've got a statue of a woman riding a dragon, a 10-headed, and it has all the horns. Do you think somebody says, yeah, we're just going to mess with those Christians? But it exists. How is it that in ancient Babylon, which is Iraq, if you don't know what's happening in Iraq, that's been happening for quite a few years, they're trying to make it an economic powerhouse, technology. They're building whole cities there. And it was Saddam Hussein's desire, right? He was rebuilding the ancient city of Babylon. He wanted the UN to move there in the 70s, move from New York, and to set up there. That's happening. There's the Babylonian economic development sector. So it tells us that the commercial Babylon in the book of Revelation tells us will fall. Some would say that's the United States. The only time you see USA is in the middle of Jerusalem, USA. But no, that's the only Bible problem. America doesn't exist. And one day every nation will be against Israel, even right now, politically, they're an ally, but one day, every nation, that includes America, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Rapture us out of here. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be against Israel. Never have been. But, and why is this tiny little nation in the news every day? The fulfillment of Scripture. You and I, not just because we have indoor plumbing, but this is the greatest generation, I think, to be alive and to be a Christian, to point to all these things here that God's word is true. If God's word is true, and all these prophecies have come in the past, then never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And unlike my wife Kimberly, God had full disclosure every bit of me when he died for me on the cross. Kimberly's still learning things after 38 years. But yet, he had full disclosure, my past, my present, and my future sins that yet he still died for. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who shall ever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I know that's true because Israel exists since May 14th, 1948. Hey, I was alive during the the six-day war and the three-day war. I was alive when I saw all that happen and wondered what's going on. And if there's only one Jew alive on the face of this earth, then God's word has never failed, but there's more. And of the one race of people, the most persecuted people group of all the world, take all the persecuted people groups and all the genocides and the peace deal that this president make, another deal done with Armenians and Azerbaijan and this ethnic cleansing and the hundreds of thousands of Armenians who were slaughtered and murdered in an ethnic cleansing, the Serbs and the Croats and stuff. Take all the persecuted people, take all the slaves from all the slave trading that ever went on, put them all together. They do not compare with the slaughter of the Jewish race of people. More Jews have been murdered than all the persecuted people groups put together into one. Why are there 1 billion Chinese? And they have the same 6,000 year of history as the nation of Israel. And why is there only 12 million Jews in existence today? And there's 1 billion Chinese. Folks, God's word is true. I love you with an everlasting love. And never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. No matter what you did this morning, yesterday, and what you're going to do next week. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We're going to leave this earth. I might be dating myself, but salvation, don't leave earth without it. It used to be a credit card, but don't leave earth without it. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. We have all the words of life and godliness. We have all the answers. God, may you just work in us so you can work through us and we can go and save a lost and dying world. I praise you and I thank you, Lord, and just give you this time. May we leave here today as we enter in through those doors to the greatest mission field ever. And God, please give Wes and his team and the Ghost Ops and they can go and rescue people and lead them to you, Lord Jesus. And for those Christians who are suffering and dying at the hands of the death cult of Islam and the Muslims who are killing the Muslims who don't think they're Muslim enough, that, Lord Jesus, they would come to know you as Savior and Lord. I know you're giving everyone opportunity, Lord. So God, whatever we could do as Calvary Chapel St. Paul to be a part of that. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.